Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd, and for Brian Lehrer, we're turning now to a lighter but not entirely unrelated subject, lefties. About 10% of the world's population is left-handed, and lefties live in a world designed for righties. Left-handedness used to be totally undesirable. The word left in many languages means wicked or unlucky. Children who were lefty used to be forced to use their right hands. Joining me now to talk about the history of lefty discrimination and take your calls on the modern-day inconveniences that lefties really do face is Dr. Chris McManus. He's professor of psychology and medical education at the University College London and the author of a book called Right Hand, Left Hand, The Origins of Asymmetry in Brains, Bodies, Atoms, and Cultures. Hello, Dr. McManus. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi there. Pleasure to be here.
Well, this is just a terrific topic. Left-handed listeners will call in to speak with us, we hope. We know that lefties used to get ink all over their hands as they wrote, and they may have trouble using things like scissors or can openers made for dominant righties of the world. If you've had these experiences, call us at 212-WMYC. 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. And I understand, of course, that there is a new inconvenience out there, the keyboard that is predominantly designed for the right-handed person. If you've discovered other new inconveniences as a lefty, give us a call, 212-433-9692. I have to confess, my husband is a lefty, so I hear all about this ad nauseum, Chris. So that was my part of my motivation for doing the segment. But tell me a little bit why it is that some people favor their left hands. We just did a segment on athleticism and genetics. Is this a genetic trait?
I think to a large extent it is, yes. We know that left-handedness runs in families. It doesn't run very strongly. It's slightly strange in the way it runs, but it does look as if genes underpin most of the fact that some people are right-handed and other people are left-handed, yeah.
And you've done some research on twins, have you not? Have you learned something there about lefties and righties?
Indeed, twins have always been of great interest to people studying left and right-handedness, because if you take identical twins, and of course they have the same genes and everything, you'd expect them to have the same handedness. But actually, one in five pairs of identical monozygotic twins have one right-handed and one left-handed. And that's always been very mysterious. People have said, well, that means it can't be genetic. And in fact, it doesn't. All that genetic theories say is that identical twins should be more similar than non-identical twins, and indeed they are. So although you get this sort of these discordant pairs, as they're called, it fits in with the genetic models, actually. And I know very well about these pairs because I'm actually the father of identical twins. My two daughters, and one of those is right-handed and one of them's left-handed. So it's there every day for me to see.
And I was going to have you confess that little personal tidbit if you didn't do it on your own.
I always fess up quickly on this one.
Is this what brought you to an interest in this subject? Because it is rather a specific. I know you have a much broader area of research, but this left-handedness is rather a specific area.
No, I've always been interested in left-handedness. And in fact, I published a paper on the handedness of twins. Oh, it must have been at least 15, 16 years before my twins were born.
Oh my.
So no, I'm afraid it was definitely the other way around.
And why so? Is it because it is such a historical anomaly? And it is true, isn't it, that left-handed people have been discriminated against in various cultures over years?
There's no doubt about that. And, you know, historically, left-handers are marginalized in various ways. The language, as you said in your introduction, shows that very clearly. We've got good evidence as well that certainly if you go back to the 19th century in Europe, the rate of left-handedness was going down and down. And it looks as if they were being actively discriminated against. So there's a strong suggestion that they actually had fewer children. And, of course, if something's genetic and you have fewer children, then the rate of the genes things goes down further. And the turn of the tide really came in about 1914, as far as we can see. And really, with the beginning of the First World War, suddenly the rate of decline of left-handedness stops and the rate starts to go up until by about 1950, it had gone up to its current levels of, say, 10, 11, 12% in Western Europe and North America.
So now we are fully accepting of the left-handed person?
I think so, yes. Although, you know, left-handers will tell you a thousand minor annoyances they have.
And we're about to hear from a few.
Absolutely. But I think, yes, we're generally accepting of it. I think various things have helped there. I think probably the reason that the Victorians particularly didn't like left-handers, or rather left-handers showed themselves up, was that it was the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. There was lots of complicated equipment, and it was all designed for right-handers. So the left-handers couldn't use it as well, and they looked clumsy. And then on top of that, certainly in Britain, we had compulsory education, and everybody had to go to school and learn to write with one of those awful pens that you dip in the ink. And the poor left-handers again showed themselves up to be not very good. They made a mess and so on. And so the combination of that was people started to feel that left-handers weren't very good. Oh. And I think that was why the rate went down. But that's sort of all gone. I sometimes say the greatest hero for left-handers ought to be the man who invented the biro, Mr. Biro. Because actually he transformed writing for left-handers.
And apparently there are still some heroes. We've had three presidents in a row here in the United States who've been lefties, as we call them here. But there are still some difficulties. Let's take some calls. I have Paul in Park Slope. Paul, you are a lefty, I understand. Is that all right to call you a lefty? I hope that's not politically incorrect.
It's fine, Jamie. And Jamie, incidentally, I attended college with you at SUNY Binghamton, and it's been amazing and wonderful to see what a success you've become.
Well, Paul, please find me when I'm off the air and let's catch up. And
sure.
we can do some, old time sake stuff.
Yeah.
But tell us your
lefty
story.
The one thing I've noticed is when New York City changed from the old lever voting machines to the new, fill in the little circle on the ballot system, the pen that is in the little voting area is tethered to the upper right corner of the privacy platform. And as a lefty, to use it, you have to drag the cable that the pen is tethered on across the ballot. It's actually very awkward. It was clearly designed by and for a right-handed person. and I mean, it sounds like a minor thing, but, you know, voting is obviously very important, and it's actually a little awkward to use. And if they would simply put an additional pen on the left side, it would be so much better, and it wouldn't be a big deal. It would just be one pen for the righties and one pen for the lefties, and everyone would intuitively know which one to use.
Could the tether be longer? Would that help?
It's not really a matter of the length, and it's a coiled tether, if you'll recall, or at least the ones at my polling station. It's sort of like this coiled spring kind of thing. So it is long enough, but there's really no way to avoid dragging it across the ballot, and it's awkward. I don't know how.
Well, this is excellent, and I hope the Board of Voters is listening. And we're doing a voting segment tomorrow, Paul. So thank you so much for the call, and do get back in touch offline. And let's take another call because we want to get through a bunch of these. And of course, Chris, everyone, all lefties, full board of calls. Jane in Fort Washington is calling in. Jane, you're a lefty?
Yes, I'm a lefty, and I have a similar issue. I'm called a southpaw. I like to refer
myself. Oh, I like that phrase.
That's a great phrase. But like Paul, I have trouble with the pen and the tether at supermarkets on a daily basis. When you're trying to use your credit card and sign your signature, you have to inevitably drag the tether across the screen, and it can be very annoying.
So I guess the technology hasn't entirely evolved to take southpaws into account. Jane, thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Williamsburg, where Angela is standing by. And
hi.
Angela, are you left-handed? Have you always been?
Yes, I have. I'm a lefty. And when I met my boyfriend, he is also left-handed. We've been together for a long time, but I remember the first time that we went on a date in a restaurant. I reached across the table to let him taste the cocktail that I had, and I realized that I'm reaching across the table with my left hand, and I'm twisting my wrist in this contorted way so someone who was right-handed could take a hold of the drink, and I didn't even realize that I was doing it. And then I realized he's also left-handed, and I said, wow, I don't have to do that. I don't have to contort my wrist in this funny way just so someone can take a drink out of my hand.
It's nice to be with someone who understands you.
Yeah, and the other thing is I'm also from a family. My mother's family is all left-handed and heavily running with twins as well. And she's the only right-handed person in her nuclear family.
Thank you so much, Angela, for your call. Let me come back to our guest, Dr. Chris McManus of University College London. You know, these are all inconveniences, and it does show that we continue to live in a right-hand-dominated world. Are there any serious hazards that lefties face? Heavy machinery, for example, designed for right-handed people, or anything we're overlooking while we look at the lighter side of this?
Yeah, I think if you look at the design of things like chainsaws or rotary, big rotary saws and so on, very often the sawdust is spat out of one side and so on, and it's spat away from a right-hander. But if you hold it in your left hand, you'll find it spits into your face. And so that sort of thing is potentially dangerous. Safety features are often designed from a right-hander's perspective. Having said all of that, I do emphasize to people that left-handers are left-handed, but they're not stupid, and they're more than capable of learning to cope with these things, and they mostly do very all the time.
Yes.
And in fact, right-handers cope with stupidly designed machines as well.
And sometimes poorly.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, and eventually it gets changed. I think, you know, the minor things you're talking about, I think what's needed here is firstly some left-handed designers. Are none of them left-handed? And secondly, perhaps some left-handed mystery shoppers who can just go round and work for companies or local authorities or whoever and say, look, have you thought this isn't right? This isn't right. And really, there's just no feedback on it somehow.
Dr. Chris McManus with a call to the left-handed designer, professor of psychology and medical education at University College London. Thank you so much for your time today.
A pleasure.
And we are so happy to have talked about this important issue, left-handedness. I will be back again tomorrow for Brian Lehrer. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.